It is my desire to tell you something about Jesus. So there is no better book to read to know something about Jesus than the Bible. So I would like to just turn to the Bible, the book of God, in the Gospel of John. So the Gospel of John, chapter 9, in my Bible here, it's page 1281. The Gospel of, according to John, chapter 9, page 1281. I would like to read verse 1. And as he passed on, he saw a man blind from birth. I would like to move on to verse 11. He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And having gone and washed, I saw." Then one more verse, and that's it. At the end of the chapter, verse 36, he answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" I have a very urgent message, and I have come all the way from Italy to tell you this message. A friend of mine called me to say, "Can you please bring the message in this town?" And I said, "I would love to do this." Because why would I do that? Because it's such an important message that I want to give you. And for me, it's the most important thing that you're able to listen to it. I am sorry I'm not able to speak properly, proper English, or proper language, or I might not be so clear as I speak. But I know one thing, that God will help me, and God will help you. It will help me to speak clear, and it will help you to understand what I'm trying to say. So the message is so important, because it is all about one person. Actually, it's about the one person and yourself. It is about Jesus. I think you've heard the name of Jesus before. I hope you have. I would like to say it doesn't matter if you've heard it blasphemed or if you've heard it preached. I'm glad you've had the possibility to hear his name mentioned. And I would like to put some, to clarify who Jesus is, so that you can know something about him, you know. But the most important thing about Jesus is that Jesus wants a link. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, you have friends, you have family, you have people you know, you have colleagues at work, colleagues as you study, schoolmates, football players that play with you, and all the rest. But dear friend, there is one man that is most important and is more important than all others, so that is Jesus. And it's a man. It's a man. As he passed on, Jesus was walking here, and I can tell you, if Jesus was down here now, he could walk here as well. You know, this is the wonder of the message, and this is why the message is so wonderful, so precious. Because Jesus can walk to you and to me. And Jesus would walk through Basildon. Jesus would walk from the town where I come from Novi in Italy. And he has walked, and he's walking tonight. He's walking all over the world. How is he walking? How does this man walk? You can't see him coming in. How does he do it? He does it with his word. That's why it's so important that we read from the Bible, you know. And it's so important to have a Bible in your house. But, you know, the people like my Italians all have a Bible in the house. Is that enough? What would you say? Is that enough? I can tell you it is not enough. if you have the Bible in your house and you put it up on the shelf, and you leave it there, and it gets dusty, some of them have these great big Bibles, you know, really big, and they take two hands to turn every page. But, dear friend, the Bible is in your house for one purpose, and that is to be read. Every book is written so that people can read it. But the Bible is something more important, and it can be read and read and read again and again. And it's always new. It's always fresh, because it speaks to you about Jesus, about a man that walked and passed your way, passed my way. As he was walking, as Jesus was walking, he saw a man blind from birth. Well, why did I choose this passage? Probably some of you say, oh, again, John chapter 9. Heard it so many times. Well, let's hear it once again. Because blindness is something very interesting. It's something that it means, very, very simply, it means that we cannot see. Okay? So, this man could not see. He could not see everything. Anything at all. He was blind from birth. And that's what I was. When I was born, I was blind. You know, I'm speaking here. I could see. I have glasses, but I could see a little bit, right? But the point was, I couldn't see what God wanted me to see. And the reason you're here tonight, and the privilege that you have of being here, is so you can see what God wants to show you. Because God wants tonight to open your eyes. So if you're still not believing in Jesus, there's an opportunity tonight to have your eyes opened. How does he do it? He uses mud. Now, if we're speaking about God, if we're speaking about someone that is above all, and then he uses mud. Mud is something filthy, something that mothers don't like to wash from children's clothes, something that is, you tend to run away from. Only boys like mud just to get messy. Filthy stuff. Not only boys or girls use it, but Jesus used it. Jesus used what he had available. And what he had available, and Jesus wants to use what he has available in your life today. You know, when I look back to myself, to my own life, there was a lot of mud there, a lot of filthy things, a lot of bad things, honestly, bad things. Bad things before my parents, bad things before God. God used those things to open my eyes. And it is my desire that you will let God use it, give him a little bit of what you have. It doesn't matter how filthy it is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your family is and what situation it is. God loves you. And he wants to use your conditions, your circumstances, to open your eyes. No one else's eyes. Your eyes alone. This is the man that's so important in the gospel. The man, Jesus. They asked this blind man, they asked, how have thine eyes been opened? How is this possible? And I think if you have come to the Savior, if you've known Jesus, I think somebody might have asked you the same questions. Tell me, what's going on in your life? Why is it like this? What happened? You know, and this man very simply said, well, all I can tell you is that a man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said, go to Siloam and wash. Having gone and washed, I saw. That's it. That's all this man could say. He could say, a man called Jesus. And what I want to preach about tonight, what I want to tell you is about that man called Jesus. So that man called Jesus, I shall be short here, came down here from heaven. The man, according to the Bible, according to the word of God, is the man that created all things. Okay, so he created the world, he created the sea, created the heavens, the sky, the clouds, the birds, the heavens, animals, fish, and he created, last of all, he created you and me. And he still does today. Go in a hospital, go in a birth ward, and see creation. See it every day. Coming out. New souls, new living souls, new people that can come to know Jesus as their Savior. New people that Jesus wants to visit. new people that Jesus wants to open their eyes. And you are one of them. And you're privileged. And I am privileged to be one of them. So Jesus came down here, walked down here, and went to a cross. You will know, you will have heard about the cross of Jesus. Everyone speaks about the cross of Jesus. Every church, most churches, have a cross on the outside. What does it all mean? What does it mean? It simply means that Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. You might say, why did he die on the cross? At that time, the Romans, my ancestors, thought that the most curse of man was to die on a cross, to be hanged on a cross. And so they wanted to hang everyone on the cross that was bad, that was naughty, that was filthy, that was doing bad things. So I should have had that place as well, according to the Romans. And possibly, dear friend, you should have had the same place, because I go by scripture when it says that all men have sinned. So we're all filthy. We're all full of dirt. We all need cleaning. But Jesus died on the cross so that you could be set free. So that you could be cleansed. That your sins could be taken away, removed, and you could experience freedom. At last, freedom in life. Don't we all want liberty? Don't we all seek for this big word, liberty? What is liberty? What is it? It's being saved by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true liberty. Scripture says, if the Son will set you free, you shall be truly free. That is the truth. That is really like that. And anyone that knows the Savior can witness to it. So, don't want to be too long here. Why did I read one more verse? I could have stopped there. I could have said, see, Jesus can open your eyes. He can do it tonight. You need to believe in him. Well, I read one more verse. Because the truth is that the man that I am presenting, the man Jesus, is actually the Son of God. You know, I was speaking recently with a colleague at work. We were on a business trip going to Germany, and he was telling me, listen, God does not exist. It's so clear, it doesn't exist, you know. Why would you believe in God? Well, you believe in God because you've been brought up in a Christian home. That's it, I know. You're doing it just because you think you have to. Just think about it. Just wait a minute and consider it. Why did Jesus come down here? Who is Jesus? Why ever would there be a man that set a fixed date on the time schedule of man? We're in 2015, everybody knows this. Everybody knows that we're living year 2015 worldwide. What does that mean? What's 2015? Whoever decided that we were in year 2015? I could say we're in year 2, year 3, year 29, because I'm 29. But this is because Jesus was born and Jesus came down here and he's the Son of God. You know, I was in Adrian's house. There's a little picture about a bay in Malta, and it's St. Paul's Bay. It's called like that. And I just stopped thinking. I said, why on earth would they call a bay that name? Why ever would it be like that? And I started thinking, and all things in this world, dear friend, are going around the Son of God. Paul was a preacher of the Word of God, was someone that was affected by God's work. And he went through his countries around Israel and then came up all the way to Italy, to Rome, to preach the gospel. And thank the Lord that someone came in my country, that someone moved on from there to come to your country to bring the gospel to you. So, just to close, dear friend, Jesus went to this man. Jesus went back to this man. Now, this is the wonder of the gospel. Jesus comes your way and opens your eyes. What happens next? You start seeing things. And you start questioning. And you start doubting. Does anyone here, can anyone say that he has not doubted from the moment he has been a believer? I can testify, I doubt daily. And I question daily God for what he does. And why he does it that way? And is it really true? And am I really in the right way? Am I really being deceived there? Or is it true? Jesus comes back to this man because he wants him to be clear on the truth of the gospel, on the truth of God himself. So he goes back to that man and he says, I didn't read that verse first, 35, it says, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Dear friend, if you've had a touch from the Savior before and you haven't turned to him yet, this is your opportunity. Tonight is your opportunity. Because Jesus is coming back and saying, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he says, who is he, Lord? Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when we are at work, someone makes a question, someone answers with another question. And so we go on for ages and ages. We just question, question, question. No one gives an answer. You know, Jesus is the one man that can give all answers. And Jesus can be there to receive a question. He asks a question. Why does he ask questions? Why does God ask questions? He's made everything. He has no doubts, does he? You know why God asks questions? Because he wants to get you involved. He wants you to care for him because he cares for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be caring for you. And he wants you to be interested about him. So he goes to this man and says, dost thou believe? Do you believe in the Son of God? And the same question I would like to ask you tonight. Do you believe in the Son of God? Well, you might say, Son of God. This man said this. He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? You know, the eyes had been opened. He was looking. He could see. Can you see tonight? Can you see what God has done for you? Sent his only begotten Son. You know that verse? Probably you've memorized it as young ones in the Sunday school. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. If you're fond of football, in the last World Cup, stadiums had that verse right in them. You know, believe it or not, they were playing matches of the World Cup with that verse sticking up in the stadiums. That's what it was. Because there's no greater truth than this, that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. Dear friend, I just want to leave this with you. You know, I think the more I go on, the more I will confuse you. That's what happens to me. The more I listen to people speaking, the more I get confused. I want God to speak to you. So I leave it to God, that he may convey to you and give you an understanding of who Jesus really is, the glorious Son of God, who died on Calvary to set you free. May you believe in him tonight for his own sake.
Amen.